look in 2 John.
The book of 2 John.
2 John chapter 3. What's going on? I can walk that far. Y'all got to keep it down. We've got Presbyterians in the church tonight. Amen. 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 All right. This lady will never come back. Amen. Presbyterians don't act like that. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. All right. Let's look in 2 John. Now, you had a ladies' meeting this weekend. And so I'm going to preach to you my Mother's Day message. Amen. So happy Mother's Day, all you ladies. God bless you. And it'd be a little bit out of place, but I just felt like it was appropriate because of the weekend. And we'll just forget that it's a Mother's Day message. And I think all of us could probably use the truth that's contained in the message, whether you're a mother or not, whether you're a man or not, you can handle these truths. But this is the way I see this chapter, and this is the way I've always used this, especially if I don't usually preach special messages. I don't generally preach Father's Day messages and Mother's Day messages, and I just try to preach what the Lord leads me to preach on a week-by-week basis, and I try not to let Hallmark greetings card company decide, you know, what I'm going to preach for any given week. But at any rate, sometimes I'll give in and do such a thing. But if I were to preach a Mother's Day message, then I would preach it from this chapter right here. So let me go ahead and read you a few verses and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Verse number 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness and grace. And I thank you for the spirit that we've got here tonight. I thank you for the souls that were saved this morning. What an encouragement that is to me to see something like that and to see that you're still saving souls. And I know that you're able to do that. But Lord, it's so wonderful to see it when it happens. And we pray, oh God, that you'd continue that work both here and down in Georgia where we are. I pray that you would just all that stuff aside, Lord, I pray that right now the time is for us to preach and to listen, and I pray that you would help me to preach and help these to hear as they should. And I thank you for everything that you do. I ask you, oh God, just to have mercy on us and visit with us tonight, and I thank you for everything you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, this is worded just perfectly. It says the elder, and of course, pastors and deacons and such as that is elders. And I think the elect lady, I think we understand that that's the church. I think that we understand that the church is the bride of Christ. I'm pretty sure everybody's up to speed doctrinally there and understand that when Jesus Christ saves a person, he takes them and puts them into the body of Christ. And Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that the relationship between a man and a woman, a groom and a bride, typifies the relationship between the Lord and his church. And so I see these things pretty clearly here. And so basically I try to use this passage as if a man is preaching to the church, or in this case, if a man is preaching to a lady, what would he say? I mean, you need to dust more. You can clean the kitchen better. I don't know what you would say. You get in trouble if you do it that way, amen? You get beat up. But at any rate, in all seriousness, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, he says, whom I love in the truth. And so that reminds me to say this. There's nothing more loving or lovable, and there's nothing more endearing to the heart than to see a woman and her children who she raises live for the Lord and serve the Lord. And so if you're trying to live for the Lord, and if you have been trying to live for the Lord and trying to raise your children for the Lord, as hard as it is to do that, as hard-headed as your husband is sometimes, I commend you for it. Amen. I love you for it. And I think back over the years, and I can think of a handful of women that I truly do love in the Lord and have been great examples. My pastor's wife when I was a child, she came by and visited us and brought us to church and got my family in church, and she had as much to do with that. She was as instrumental in that as was my pastor. And I looked to her and I think that there was a woman that was dedicated to the ministry. And even though she didn't have children of her own, she has 63 preachers that she led to the Lord personally that are in the ministry today. And that's just a conservative count, because that's the only ones that I have heard of or know about. Who knows what all else has been done besides that? But as far as I'm concerned, that's her children. Amen. Right. And so, but I look back and I see that dedication. And of course, I see some of that in my wife. I see some of that in my mother-in-law. And a lot of people don't have good relationships with their mother-in-laws, but I'm her favorite, and so that's that, amen? That's that. Alan keeps complaining about me taking his daughter away, but I told him, offer me a job and we'll be right back, amen? But he is that a shameless plug? Amen. But I will say one thing, it'd be hard to move back to this frigid part of the country. I have froze to death this week, and I can't wait to get back to the sunny south. Amen. It'd be a blessing just to, my joints are not moving right or correct. I want to get out and preach today, but I've really just been stove up, as they say. It's hard to move in this frigid cold air. But he says this here, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. There ought to be a great relationship, not only with the church, but when you look around in this church and when you go to other churches and when other churches come here, I mean, a lot of times, you know, you see a preacher come and everybody wants to get the preacher to sign their Bible and all of this stuff. Well, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in a preacher's life, in a pastor's life, and a good wife and good children have a lot to do with that. They certainly do. They have a lot to do with that. And I don't think a lot of times they get enough credit. Of course, women are so vain that if you give them credit, they just let it go to their head and ruin the whole situation. Amen. But they do deserve the credit, don't they? They do deserve the credit. Some of you fellas, talking about getting up and going to church early on Sunday, some of you wouldn't be here yet if it wouldn't have been for your wife getting you up and pressing you suit and all this stuff. And they do a lot more than that. But you say, well, I think they ought to, you know, get recognition for some of the spiritual things that they do. Well, we don't give them the respect that's due to their name for the physical things that they do. Amen? And so we could pick either or and talk about that. But here, John is writing, and it looks to me like that he sees a godly woman, and he sees a godly woman that's leading good children and having good results. And he said, it's not just me that loves it and that loves her in the truth, but all of us love her in the truth. Amen? And the Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. That certainly is true for ladies as well. I mean, when he says man, I believe he's talking to just mankind in general. But he says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. And listen, you can look at a man in his face and listen to him talk for about 30 minutes, and you can see if he loves God or not. And John here, he's saying the same thing about a woman. He says, we see what you're doing. We see how you're performing as a Christian. We see the things that you're going through. And he says, we love you. Amen. We love you. We have, you know, ladies come through with the preachers and stuff like that. And here several years back, I got with my wife and some of the ladies in the church. And I say, well, from time to time, just bring something in and put it in a basket. And we'll set it by, and whenever a missionary and his wife comes through, or a pastor and his wife comes through, just give them that and show them that we, show them that we appreciate them too. Amen. And if you guys gave my wife a basket of candy, but I'm eating that. Give them lady stuff that ladies can use, facial creams and all kind. I mean, stuff that ladies like that men aren't going to steal. Yeah. Amen. Men are desperate thieves. I mean, give a lady some facial cream and the fellow have it out there lubing the back end of his Harley Davidson with it or something. Men are going to try to find some good use for something. But what John is saying here is that some appreciation ought to be shown for ladies who love the Lord. Amen? I believe that. Not I only, but also all they that have known the truth for the truth's sake. There are some men and women in this generation, as bad as the Bible says things are going going to be in the end times. As bad as we do see that things are right now, there are still going to be a remnant that are going to love the Lord and are going to serve the Lord. And when you get around folks like that, you can tell. I mean, they're not always down. Hey, things are bad. As a preacher, from time to time, the Lord gives me a message that's really scolding, and there might be some rebuke to it. But I also see that God's servants are here. And oftentimes, as a preacher, I think sometimes you make a mistake to, you know, you get up and you preach to the people that aren't here. All you people laying out, well, I didn't lay out, I'm here. And all you people, you know, and that's generally the way things go. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that are here tonight, men and women, and a lot of people that love the Lord, and a lot of people that are reading their Bible, and a lot of people that are praying, and a lot of people that are witnessing and trying to bring people in. And the danger is, one danger is that you never say anything bad about anything when it deserves to be talked about. And then the other danger is you never recognize that, hey, there are people out here that are serving the Lord.
That's right.
And they're doing right. They're fighting through temptations and trials. Over in the book of Acts, over in Acts chapter number 20, Paul called some men down from Ephesus, and he's talking to them. He said, you know how I've been with you at all seasons. He said, I've been with you through trials and tears and tribulation. And there's trials and stuff that's going on in your life. But after the trial is over, after the trouble is over, you look around, they're still right there in their seat. And it's I don't know the ratio, and I don't know the averages and percentages of stuff like that, but just at first glance, it seems like women can go through things and trust the Lord and lean on the Lord and come through the other side. And, you know, sometimes I'll just give an example. Sometimes I know you don't believe this, but from time to time, people does stuff that makes me angry. And I get bitter about it and fuss about it and complain about it. And then, you know, my wife, what's wrong with you? And I'm going to tell my wife, and she's going to take up from my side, and she's going to be and tell her what it is. And she said, well, you ought to just, you know, pray about it and read your Bible. And do all. I'm never telling you nothing else again. I just go brood in my own corner, you know. But it seems like they can handle things like that a little bit. And, but, you know, if we could say women are better than that, or men are better at that, or women are better at that. But it seems to me like if you're really trying to serve the Lord, it seems like for me is that when she is at her weakest moment and fed up and ready to punch somebody in the nose, then I'll be level-headed. And it seems like when it's me that wants to wring somebody's neck, it's her that has easy going. But the danger is you come out on the other side of those trials and troubles. And Paul said that his tears and tribulation was in the lying in wait. He's not talking about, you know, he didn't get the raise that he wanted, or he didn't have enough money. He's talking about the Jews were laying in wait trying to kill him for his stand for the Lord. And that's what I'm talking about. You go through things, and, you know, it doesn't go your way in church, or you don't get the ministry you wanted, or you didn't get to sing at that particular time that you requested to sing, and well, I won't go there, but you don't get things to go your way at the exact right time, and it seems like you get bitter and you don't get over it and you quit. I mean, and you can't sing that good anyway. Amen. Well, I really wanted to preach, and, you know, they didn't give me the opportunity. Well, I mean, you just can't preach that good. I mean, none of us can. You can stand to sit and listen a little while. I mean, but it's little things like that in the course of serving the Lord. We don't think that we get exactly what we should have got. And sometimes you see folks drop out and quit because of that. And sometimes you see folks just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. And especially, you know, I've seen it many times. I've been in church since 1974. And I've seen many times somebody get mad at the preacher or get mad at the deacons or something like that. And the first thing you know, the husband's out and the wife's there by herself. And, you know, you hear through the grapevine, because nobody in church gossips or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, he's mad and he's out and she's coming. But over time, you know, you look at that lady and you'll see her getting stronger, and you'll see God doing things in her life. And it's because she loves the truth more than she likes being bitter. Amen? And I really believe that God admires a woman who can go through hardship and still keep her chin up and still show up and still serve the Lord, even though it's not the most desirable situation to be in. And I believe that's what John is looking at when he's looking here at this elect lady, and he's seeing a lady that is going through something for the Lord, and her not only is she going through it, but her little children are coming along behind her, taking that example. In the hardship, stand fast. In the difficulty, keep going. In the tears, keep on praying. And when it comes rough and tumble life, then you just get in the Word of God and cling fast to His great and precious promises and keep on going. That's what he sees here. And he says it's all in verse 2. He says it's for the truth's sake. And that's what we're here for, whether you know it. We can put that many ways. We can say we're here for the gospel, and we can say that we're here to encourage one another in the Lord. There's all kinds of ways that you can say it, but we're here for the truth's sake. Amen. In the book of Jude, he tells you to earnestly contend for the faith. Well, what is he saying? He's saying it's for the truth's sake. And so he says here, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. The truth is going to be here long after your hardship is over. Amen. So, well, I'm going through difficulty. Well, keep on. Keep saying, well, Brother Mike, you're hard. Now, I'm not hard. I wish every one of you's load was lightened. I really wish it was. I wish you didn't have to go through hardships and trials. But the hard fact of the matter is that difficulties do come. And when you get through with the difficulty that you're going through now, God will give you a little space. And another difficulty will come, and sometimes in this life, it'll be difficulty upon difficulty. But when it's all said and done, the truth will still be the truth. And that 20 inches we talked about this morning, the measure of things in God's Word is going to be the same after the uproar as it was before the uproar. Amen. The truth is going to be the truth. And so it's endearing. If you want, you say, I just want people to love me and accept me. I'll tell you the best way to do that, which is pretty selfish statement to begin with. But if you want people to love you and admire you and look up to you, go through hardships and difficulties. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, struggling to keep your position at work. I'm talking about serving the Lord and going through that hardship. If you want people to look up to you and admire you, that's the way you do it. Stand up. Bear up under the difficulties. And what I'm really trying to say is when things get difficult, remain faithful to the Lord. Keep trusting in the Lord. And when you come through that, and people will say, wow, that was a pretty difficult moment he just came through right there. And he came through it in flying colors. And, of course, we know the Lord brought me through it. We know that, don't we? We understand that, don't we? I remember going up to in Fancy Gap, Virginia, knocking on some doors at one time. I guess this was about 1994. And I come up to this little cabin up there, and there's a lady on the front porch and seven or eight people milling around in the front yard. And she seen me coming. I had my Bible. Of course, you're not supposed to do that anymore. That's not proper way to go on visitation. Carry your Bible. It might scare them. Well, I got news for you. The Bible's the only reason I'm in your front yard. Amen. I'm going to bring it with me. But at any rate, go up to this lady, and she sees me coming with my Bible, and she comes out to meet me. Oh, are you a preacher? Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm a preacher. And I've come up here to tell you all about the Lord today. And, the conversation went that way. And I think the lady was saved. She convinced me that she was. But she told me that day, she said, you know what my favorite verse of Scripture in the Bible is? And I said, what is it? And she says, it's the verse about them footprints where Jesus, you know, and that ain't really in the Bible. That ain't really in the Bible, amen. But it is something that's in people's mind, and it's in their heart. You know, if you're going to get through hardships and difficulties, we know the Lord brought us through it, didn't we? It might not be a real verse, but it is certainly a truth that we know that the Lord does carry us through difficult times, doesn't he? And that, I believe that's what John's saying here. He says, I love you in the truth. I see what you're going through, you and your children. And he said, it's for the truth's sake that we go through these things. And so let me just use that to say this. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult to convince somebody to keep on going when things are so rough, and when you get hardship, and when your friends and even sometimes your family won't speak to you because of this faith in Christ that you now have. You used to be just like them, but to them you've forsaken them. You found a better way. You found a more excellent way, but the way they see it sometimes is betrayal. So we don't understand you anymore. And sometimes it's difficult to, as a person, to accept the the mindset that others have toward us. Why do they think of me this way? And sometimes it's a temptation to give in and go back and get with the old crowd and give up and go. But at the end of the day, he says, this is for the true sake. It's bigger than your troubles. It's bigger than your trials. But it's also bigger than your own personal comfort, really. It's bigger than that. And when it's over with, when everything is said and done, the truth will still be with us. Amen. It shall be with us forever. And so he says, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I tried to start doing it because I see it when I read John or when I read Paul. Every time he talks to him, he starts out this way. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Have you ever noticed that? It's there in every introduction. And I don't just read the Bible and skip over that part because, hey, this is just the introduction. It's all God's Word. Yeah. And when I see Paul or when I see John or when I see James and these folks, they're relating things. Of course, it's the Scripture, but these Scriptures are addressed to somebody. Yeah. You say, well, it's to all of us. Yeah, but when they wrote them down, they were addressing particular people. It's just like a pastor and comes to preach to the people every week. If he's worth his salt, he didn't come to preach to the Presbyterians. Amen. He didn't come to preach to somebody down the road. When, you know, I didn't come here today to correct the Methodists. I come here to preach to you. And so Paul, when he's preaching to the Romans, he said, well, we've enjoyed this. We're not Romans, but we've enjoyed it all down through the years. It is to us. But when it was written down, it was directly to them. Intentionally to them. We're actually, when we open our Bible, we are reading somebody else's mail in the New Testament. Well, that just, it awakened something in me, and I realized coming to our church every week and preaching to these people and trying to give them this verse or that verse or this idea or that idea or this doctrine or that doctrine, every once in a while I just stop and bless them. Pray, you know, sometimes it's at the end of the service or sometimes the beginning, but sometimes I just like to say to our congregation, God bless you for coming this week. Amen. I hope God pours a blessing on you sometime this week. You say, well, that's just ritualistic. Is it? Why say it then? Yeah. You know, he starts out, he says, grace be with you, mercy and peace. May not be able to bless you with anything more than those spiritual things. Now, because you came to church tonight, I'm going to pray that God gives you a brand new Cadillac this week. Well, it's not likely that that's going to come to pass. But give, you know, you pray and say, God bless these people. You don't have to be a pastor to do that, I don't think, necessarily. But I think it would be very helpful if some of you would look around. You see your mother coming to church. You see your sister coming to church. You see your sister in Christ coming to church. You see your pastor's wife. You see the deacon's wife that's faithful and does all that she can. You see folks that are constantly giving of their time, men and women. Just bow your head and say, God bless them and give them grace and give them mercy and have goodwill towards one another. And that'll kind of help you out when you're saying, I don't see why she gets to sing and I didn't get to sing today. I don't see why he gets to teach all the time or he gets to teach that Sunday school class and I'm just as good as he is. Bless them. Amen. God bless them. They spent the time, they spent 35 seconds this week getting up another verse to teach in Sunday school. God, please bless them for their efforts. Amen. And I'm just thinking that we have the authority to do that. We're not Catholic priests and we're not Moses the prophet, but we are Christians who interact with one another. And I think wishing somebody to have mercy and grace. Listen, did you know that the book of Corinthians represents the most carnal church that there is in the Bible? He starts out in the book of Corinthians and he just wrings out their dish rag, the whole thing. The whole book is just, you shouldn't have done that and you shouldn't have done this. And if you don't do this, I'm going to know why not. And just, he goes at them that way the whole book, doesn't he? You know how he starts it out? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. And some of you would rather cut your own throat than bless somebody you don't think is living up to your standards. And you know what you're doing? In the end, you're stealing your own blessings. Yep. Yeah. Because you know what I've found over the years? It's a blessing for me to see somebody that hasn't been living up to the high standards of this elect lady to come around. Amen. When are they ever going to get it straight? You don't think they ever will. Amen? Yep. I've been around. I've seen, you know, preach to them and say, hey, bring your Bible to church. And the person that doesn't bring their Bible to church is the one that says amen. Amen right there. I'm talking to you. At one particular place, there was always this lady, and she was always talking. I mean, always talking. And I could hear her from the pulpit, and she's and it's that grating. I don't even know if I can describe the sound. It's the sound, you can hear it, but you can't make it out. It's like having a radio just barely on. You can hear the, and from the congregation, I could hear that every service. And people started coming to me and said, hey, we're going to have to move to another part of the church because this lady just will not. And she's sitting on the road by herself. She's not talking to anybody. And so one day in the service, I just thought I would handle it in a very diplomatic way. And I said, hey, shut up back there. I'm doing the preaching. You be quiet. And I wasn't talking directly to her, and so I just went along that line. You know, when the preacher's preaching, you're supposed to be quiet and supposed to be listening. And she's the one that said amen. Amen. But that ain't the worst of it. She said, I can't stand it when somebody does that. I heard her say that. Lord, Lord, I think you'd be justified in just churching her right there and say, don't come back here no more, lady. But you don't do that. You don't do that. You pray and drop some more subtle hints. I mean, shut up. That's pretty subtle, I think. And after a while, you know, it just kind of worked itself out. And you think, well, amen. God bless her. Amen. So we had to put up with a lot of junk all along the way, but we're alive. Yeah. We're alive, ain't we? Amen. Amen. Well, see, that attitude's gone in Christianity, and it ought not be gone. It ought not be gone. Grace be with you. Amen. Some of you ought to look around and see the husbands that they have, don't you? Pray for them. Ask God to help them. God, give them the grace and the strength. Amen. Amen. That's good. Look, ain't that right? You better leave her alone. She'll wear you out, boy. Amen. Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now look what he says here. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Ladies, that's a cause of great rejoicing. If you can teach your little children how to love God, how to quote the scriptures, and how to walk right and talk right. Y'all pray for us, because we are working on Reese. And he's working on going his own way, but we're doing our best, amen? And he's about to wear his mother out. But I'll tell you, to see a family come into the church and get saved, and to see the father get right and the mother get right, and then start to work on the children, and especially in this day and time, children have so much access to the world through television and internet. And your children, some of you think your children have no access. These children have access upon access that you just don't know about, man. Seems like they can get on the internet anyway and find out about stuff. I hear my children sometimes, not my children, but Reese, again, he's 5 years old. I hear him talk about things. How did you get a hold of that information? How'd you get a hold of that? And so, you know, you don't know where it comes from all the time, but I know one thing, mothers, and I know one thing, fathers. You've got a battle on your hand. I think it's the most important battle you'll ever fight. Yeah. It's more important than the bottom line of your checkbook. And I'd be willing to go with you and say that, yeah, it is important, your finances and your future. The Bible says a good man leaves stuff for his grandchildren and so forth and so on. I understand you got to make a living and do all that stuff, but don't neglect your children along the ways. Amen. Don't neglect your children along the way. I see in this day and time it's nothing for something to come up and just the whole family lay out. I know that from time to time you've got something going on in your family and somebody might be sick or something, but hey, mother, stay at home, take care of those children. You fathers, as the head of your house, come down to the house of God and get something and bring it back to your family, because somebody has to take responsibility to bring up those children. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. And that's probably going to be one of the greatest testimonies of your life, is how your children come about. It really is. You say, oh, he's got all these verses memorized and all this stuff. And listen, children are going to grow up to the point where they're going to make up their own mind and they're going to go their own way. I understand that. But while they're yours and while you're responsible for them and while you've got the oversight of them, do whatever you can possible to make sure that when the time comes and the world begins to see the little arrows that you've sent out into the world, that they're walking after the truth. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. He said, as we have received commandment from the Father. That's our commandment right there, is that those little children be found walking in the truth. Amen. And then verse number 5, he says, now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Love, one of the greatest attributes that you can have as a Christian. Amen.
Yeah.
Our greatest doctrines hinge on that one word. And I don't mean love like enabling.
Amen.
Amen. I don't mean that. Well, what does he say here? And this is love, that we walk after his commandments.
Yeah.
Sounds a little legalistic to me. Well, I'm sorry, but there are some legalistic aspects to this life. I'm sorry that you're going to have to follow some rules once in a while.
Amen.
But welcome to the real world.
Amen.
You're going to have to do it, amen? There are some guidelines you're going to have to walk by in this life. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, nobody accepts me as I am. Why do they have to? Amen? The focus ought not to be accepted. The Bible says, the Lord said to Cain, if you do right, you'll be accepted.
Amen.
Amen. I think a lot of times we're just trying to be accepted by the wrong folks.
Amen.
Amen. And if you're trying to be accepted by the wrong folks, the danger in that as a father or mother is that that tends to rub off on your children. Isn't it silly? I think you'll agree with me. Isn't it silly to walk around town this day and time or go to the mall or someplace like that and see a 65-year-old mother with her 20-year-old daughter and they're both dressed alike? And that doesn't make any sense to me. Amen?
Amen.
I heard some amens, but I heard a great quietness in between those amens that I didn't care much for. Amen? There's a time, you know, he said when I was a child, I thought like a child and all this up. But he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
And I tell you this, if a 20-year-old ought not to be wearing yoga pants, you ought not to be either. Amen. When you get 65. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Present yourself in a decent manner. I mean, you're a Christian because that stuff's going to be passed down to your children. He says, this is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning that you should walk in it. And so he says, this is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Well, what have we heard from the beginning? Well, you've got an Old Testament. It starts in the beginning and it goes through. And the first thing it does is it establishes God's principles, God's character. What is the law of God that Moses presented? You know, the Ten Commandments that we see, which is just a small speck of all the commandments that the Old Testament contains. What is that except for the personality of God?
Yep.
You don't commit adultery and you don't murder and you don't do all these things. Why does God tell us not to do that? Because in his righteous state, he wouldn't do any of those things. That's God's personality.
Yep.
And that was bound up in the heart of Christ. When Christ was manifest in the flesh, he was the walking, living, breathing Word. He was the law. And God says to you, after he's given you free salvation and he's given you his imputed righteousness and he's given you life eternal, he says, here, take these principles and wrap yourself up in them. And he says that, by the way, if you're wondering where he says that in the book of Romans when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Two descriptors, holy and acceptable. What do you expect of Christian mothers? Holy and acceptable. What do you expect of Christian fathers? Holy and acceptable. That makes some people lose their mind because they're rebels.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now look at this and we'll close. This is my admonition. You Christian mothers that's trying to live for the Lord, Look what he says here. You Christian fathers that are trying to live for the Lord, pay close attention to this verse. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. If we're dealing with this verse in regards to mothers and fathers, listen, it wouldn't you think that it would be a shame if you should be faithful to God and read the Word and pray and put a great example in front of your children's eyes until you're about 12 years old and then turn and walk the other way and lose all that time and all that investment that you had already put into your children?
Yeah.
When they're 5 years old and they're 6 years old, you teach them to memorize the verses and say the little songs. And when they're 10 years old, you give them a little responsibility and let them stand out on the street corner with you and hand out tracts. And you're giving all these right examples and good examples. And when the bad music comes on television, you say, don't watch that and don't look at this and be careful about that and keep them based in sound reality. Now, I do this with my kid. What you do with your kid is your business. But I don't allow my kid to play with any superheroes, Batman, Superman. I don't let them do that. You say, why? Because I don't want their mind to be wandering off into some alternate reality where you can shoot webs and fly and all this stuff. I want them to be based right here on something solid and good. I don't want their minds to be swept away by imagination when there's so much more important stuff to be put on it. I just look back at my own childhood and say, now look, I had a problem with this, I had a problem with this, I had a problem with that, I didn't have a problem with this. And so those things I saw a problem with as a boy, I just said, not going to expose him to it. And you get along 12, 13, or 14 years into raising your boy and say, well, this stuff doesn't matter anymore. And turn and start going the other way, and now this kid is just, his world is flipped around. All that stuff before must not have mattered.
Yeah.
Listen, he says you've got to be careful you don't lose the things you've already wrought.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not telling you what to do, what to let them watch or what not to let them watch. What I'm telling you is if you've taken the time to put your hand to the plow and raise your kids for the Lord, don't flip and turn around later on and tell them that it's okay to do this stuff and it's all right to do that stuff.
Right.
Be consistent all the way through and try to lead them to the Lord and lead them to adulthood in a consistent manner. You say, why? Because, listen, you can spend 10 years trying to instill discipline in them and instill some sense of righteousness in them and just mess that up in a week's time. I hope that's clear. I don't know if I can explain that any better, but if something is unacceptable and then all of a sudden it's acceptable, the child is probably not going to sit down there and have a spiritual session of reasoning and say, now, this isn't exactly right. Because if there's anybody subject to the allure and the attraction of the flesh, it's going to be a teenage kid who will be more than willing to follow you into your last hurrah. I better get busy and have some fun because in a few weeks I'm going to be 35 and then I'll be over the hill. Now listen, what's more important? The spiritual consistency or the track that your child's going to take maybe for the rest of their life? Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. Well, preacher, I'd appreciate if you'd come over and straighten out my children. One of the saddest things that I've experienced in my life as a preacher, I've experienced some sad things in other areas, but as a preacher, one of the saddest things that I can relate to you is being a pastor and having a hard-headed man continually fight against the things that I was trying to do and coming to church every Sunday, coming to church every Sunday night, coming to church every Wednesday night, but at the same time disagreeing with everything that the preacher said. And then take those little children back down to his house and the preacher's wrong about this, the preacher's wrong about that, the preacher's wrong about this. And listen, what that turned into in later years was those people coming back around to me and saying, now, preacher, my child, my little girl is out in sin and far from God. Would you go help her? And you know what I had to say? I had to say, no, I cannot. Well, why would you say something like that as a preacher? Because you already convinced her that I do not know what I'm talking about. There was a time when that child loved me and revered me and would follow me and would listen to me and would allow me to teach her, but not now, not now. You heard Daddy. The greatest authority figure in her life. You have convinced her that the preacher don't know what he's talking about.
That's good, Brother Mike.
Well, nothing. One of those girls grew up to be a good, godly, now she's a wife, but a godly young lady. And she said this, she said, I don't want to go into too many details, but she said, my parents would have been better off if they would have just sit still and listened to the preacher. That's not an exact quotation, but that's as close of a quotation as I can give you. And that family is gone. That family is dissolved. Mama run off with somebody else. And hey, you know what it all started from? You know what it all started from? No authority. No authority whatsoever. And I'll tell you this. I'll just give you this little hint, fellas. If there's no, listen, if God has no authority and the church has no authority and the leadership that God put over the church has no authority in your life and you're constantly saying, that ain't right, that ain't right, in the face of God, one of these days that little lady beside you will look at you and say, well, you're looking at God saying you don't have control over me. That little lady might look at you and say, you don't have no control over me. And little baby rebel down here saying, you don't have no control over me. And say, well, I don't know how I got in this case. No, yes, you do. You ministered it to them. You ministered to them. It's a possibility that you start off well. The book of Galatians said, ye did run well. What did hinder you? Did you used to live for God? Did you used to think about God all the time? Did you used to give your every possible moment to reading the scripture and praying and trying to find out what God wanted in your life? Did you used to do that? Listen, if you've gone away from it, get back to it as quickly as possible, because look at Junior. Look at little Miss. They're following you. That's the admonition. Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I want to see all my children in heaven. I want to see all my children's children in heaven. Look around at the different family members we've got here. I want to see their children in heaven. Amen. Amen. Let's stop right there. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. I ask you to have your will and way. God.